Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Bishop Desmond Tutu, now Archbishop of Cape Town in South Africa, upon hearing President Reagan speak against sanctions for South Africa, said, "I think the West, for my part, can go to hell." Now, Reagan has long defended the position that sanctions would cripple South Africa's economy, throw thousands of blacks out of work, endanger the West's supply of vital minerals, and potentially benefit the Soviet Union. Concerning Tutu's remarks, the Reverend Jerry Falwell commented, "It is tragic when this man of God, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, would wish people to suffer in hell." Falwell was often outspoken on moral issues that affect our nation, was the subject of former President Jimmy Carter, speaking at Meredith College in Raleigh, South Carolina. Carter declared, "There's a growing danger of fundamentalist extremist groups closing their grasp on the institutions of the Southern Baptist Convention." He added, "The fundamentalists are driven by fervor and total commitment. I think that's why they've been so successful." Then the newspapers quoted Carter as lashing out at Falwell. Said Carter, "I don't let Jerry Falwell and others define for me what is a Christian." Declared Carter, "There was a time when Falwell said anybody who supports the Panama Canal Treaty is not a Christian. Anybody who supports SALT II is not a Christian. Anybody who fought a Republican is not a Christian. Well, in a very Christian way, as far as I'm concerned, he can go to hell." Again, what a statement. Of course, Dr. Falwell declares he made no such statements, and according to the press, he didn't recall questioning the piety of anyone who supported the giveaway of the Panama Canal or the creation of SALT II. Though he added, "I did question their sanity and still do." Now, what about this business of telling someone they can go to hell? You hear it on the street corner, or in connection with war, or the extreme heat. What we really need is a Bible-based picture of what hell is really like. Of course, as one news commentator put it, hell passed when the era of the happy face began. Go to church these days and you hear less talk about hell than about the power of positive thinking and the love of God. But in the past, men like Jonathan Edwards could preach sermons on hell and send chills down people's spines, causing them to grab hold of the church pillars to keep them from sliding over the precipice into hell. Another writer asks, "Whatever happened to hell?" He writes, "I remember hearing a sermon on hell. I was a child. It so frightened me I wanted to be a Christian just to escape that awful place. That was 30 years ago." He adds, "Things have changed today. A sermon on hell is about as rare as wild buffalo whistling Dixie. Believers hear about God's love, discipleship, spiritual gifts, social ministries, moral development, but the wrath of God? Zilch," he writes. Well, apparently people don't want to hear about hell. I have a book of 2,500 choice illustrations. Some 20 are on heaven, but not one on hell. We'd ask why. A few years ago, while there was talk about being born again, Bill Moyers did a TV special. He asked a teenager, saying, "I know people who are moral and good and who do not claim to be born again. How could a good God allow them to go to hell?" The teenager replied, "Well, that's what the Bible says." Well, Billy Graham notes the most unpopular subject a minister can choose is the subject of hell. Yet the scriptures speak often of hell. As Colonel Ingersoll, great champion of infidelity, once said, "The Bible is the foundation of hell. Hell will never be disposed of till the inspiration of the scriptures is." Well, major denominations are changing their creeds, redefining their positions on hell. It is no longer considered a place of torment, but rather a symbol of misery. A dope addict is said to be enduring hell. An alcoholic who spends his money on liquor, leaving his wife and children hungry, is said to be making his home a hell. A man dying of lung cancer is said to be suffering hell. But this is not the Bible definition of hell. The Bible defines hell as eternal fire, everlasting punishment, outer darkness where there is weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. The Associated Press once conducted a survey among prominent clergymen of metropolitan New York to find out if they really believed in a literal hell and in hell fire. Some of the clergymen held to the belief that hell was a time of spiritual suffering, allowing a chance for gradual redemption. It's like a man in prison, deprived of his liberty, waiting the day when he will be free. During this time of confinement, this person is said to be in hell. Others of the cloth stated hell was an endless state of self-made spiritual suffering. In other words, by the things a person thinks and does, he makes his own hell. And an outstanding Protestant clergyman expressed it this way: hell was not a geographical location, but a state of mind. Another view was that hell was annihilation. This is a popular view accepted by those who believe when you're dead, you're dead. Another group held to the belief that hell was both physical and spiritual. It was suffering that never ceases with real hell fire. And this is largely the belief of some fundamentalist groups, as well as Roman Catholics, who insist on the reality of hell fire. In Canada, 43 United Church theologians gave their interpretation. In a statement issued by the denomination's General Council, was stated, "It is wrong to explain away the strong language of the New Testament where it speaks of unquenchable fires, eternal fire, outer darkness, and eternal destruction. But it is equally wrong to interpret such phrases literally." Well, no one is more qualified to speak about hell than our Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Luke 16:19 through 31, he spoke of the rich man who died, who in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment. At least six things are said concerning this man. First, he could see. Looking afar off, he saw Father Abraham and Lazarus the beggar, who had laid at his gate and was fed crumbs which fell from his table. Secondly, he could feel, for he experienced torment and actual flame. Third, he could talk, for he addressed a plea to Father Abraham. The fourth place, he could reason, for he said, "If someone were to rise from the dead and report back to his five brothers, surely they would change their mind about coming to this awful place." The fifth place, he could pray. But Father Abraham replied, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." And in the sixth place, he thirsted. He cried, saying, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." My friends, what does it take to convince people of the reality of hell? Atheist Bertrand Russell testified, "I think only cruel people could have invented hell. People with humane feelings would not have likened the thought that those who do things on earth which are condemned by the morality of their tribe will suffer eternally without any chance of amendment." But as A.P. Wilkes notes, "He who was incarnate tenderness never faltered in the most solemn assertions of hell as a fact. The horror with which he speaks is entirely without any alleviation or mitigation, even in his parables. It is impossible to place reliance as to what Jesus Christ said of heaven and God if what he said of hell is false. The quenchless flame, the undying worm, the never forgiveness, the body and soul plunged into Gehenna, all these expressions of him who offers a perfect escape from hell to every human soul and died in order to secure it. Ah, this is the miracle aspect of our salvation. Our Lord, who spoke so freely of hell, came to redeem us from hell. What tremendous price he paid, leaving the glories of heaven, suffering the excruciating pain of the cross, in order to accomplish for us our redemption. Thus it is written, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You may not know much about the Bible, but surely you know how to receive a gift, merely by accepting it, by taking it. So God says, take Christ as your Savior and Lord. God doesn't sentence anyone to hell, but man, by rejecting Christ, condemns himself to eternal punishment. You've heard of the governor who entered death row with a pardon for a man condemned to die. But not knowing it was the governor, thinking it was a minister, the man cursed him and refused to see him and suffered the consequences of his rejection, which was death. And so to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is to receive eternal life. For to as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Why not in simple faith turn to Christ? Repent of your sin to trust him. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Then live for him daily and be ready whenever he will come. For he hath said, be ye therefore ready also. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray for anyone listening today on this important subject, that they will hear and heed this message. May no one be in hell who heard this message today, but may they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and depend upon him as the perfect gift of eternal life and of salvation, to give to them the beauties and glories of an eternal heaven. Grant this, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today's subject, the reality of hell. I will admit, few would dare preach on this subject today. But to declare the whole counsel of God, we must admit there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Will you be ready?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.